This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
I'm sure you're lathering up in sun cream every morning before you leave the house, enjoying the good weather conditions. Bláthaí Muriarty is a consultant dermatologist and associate professor at UCD. Bláthaí, what should we be looking out for when we're buying sun cream? What ingredients should the products have?
Hi, Andrea, and thanks for having me on. So the most important thing, I think, when you're buying a sunscreen is that you like it and that it's affordable. I think they're the two key things. But I suppose when you look at a sun cream, what you want to look for is ideally a cream, although there are lots of different formulations now. And then to look at things like the UVA and the UVB coverage. And so the UVB coverage is the number we're all familiar with. This is the SPF on the bottle. And certainly between a 30 or maybe even a 50 or higher in this very lovely weather that we're having at the moment. The other important thing to look at is the UVA coverage. And so this is usually a 4 or a 5 star rating, or sometimes it will be, it can say ultra, to broad spectrum on it. So they're the other things to look for. In terms of ingredients, there are two different types of sun creams, or types of ingredients, if you like. So there are what are broadly referred to as chemical sunscreens. So they're the ones that are most commonly available in Europe. So these are the benzene-based sun creams. And then less commonly in Europe and more commonly in the States, there are more physical blocks, so zinc and titanium and derivatives of those. And they're the ones that traditionally were quite challenging to use because they had a sort of a cast. You know, you might have seen blue sunscreens or green sunscreens.
Yeah.
They're totally non-transparent. And a lot of those filters are transparent now and much easier to use, but slightly less frequently available.
So the UVB is, I suppose, the term that we're more familiar with. That's the SPF rating. And in
exactly.
The high temperatures that we've been experiencing over the past number of days and into next week, you reckon most of us here in Ireland need to be looking at least 30 plus.
Exactly. I mean, the advice is always 30. I would tend to use a higher rating if you're going to bother putting it on, for the simple reason that we know that the rating that you get on the bottle in lab conditions is slightly higher than what we'll tend to get in real life. So none of us put on as much sunscreen in real life as is done in a laboratory setting. And so typically we'll put on about 25 to 30% of the quantities that are needed, and therefore we'll get a much lower number in real life than we think we're getting. And so for that reason, if you're standing in a pharmacy and in a supermarket and you're about to pick one up, I would tend to pick up the higher number.
Yeah. 50 all day long, blowing. That's what I
think. So, yeah. Yeah. But all day long and reapplying is the thing.
Nice.
So the UVB rays are the ones that you feel the burn. The UVB penetrates our skin quite superficially, and that's the one that makes our skin go red, with overexposure. And then the UVA rays, you don't tend to feel as much because they penetrate deeper, they take a lot longer. But if you're out all day or if you're consistently out, they also are very important to protect yourself.
So the 30 or the 50 SPF rating that we see on the bottles of sun cream in pharmacies across or shops across the country, does that indicate the level of protection you're getting or the period of time for which you'll be protected?
So they're really... are no sun creams that are going to protect you for more than 2 hours. So it's more about the protection you're getting. So for example, SPF 30 would block 97% of UVB rays applied correctly. Factor 50 would block 99% of UVB rays applied correctly. Really, none of these filters last more than about 2 hours. And so that's why the advice for reapplying every 2 hours, or of course, if you're exercising or toweling or you're swimming in the sea, which I hope lots of people are getting to do, and you need to reapply after those activities. So it's really more about the amount of the percentage of the rays it's blocking more than the duration.
So that sun cream you might put on, Bláthaí, sorry, at 7 o'clock in the morning before you leave the house, you need to be reapplying that then at 9.
you need to, exactly, you need to be reapplying it, exactly, or with those activities. Some, and particularly, I suppose, just to mention that if, you know, a lot of us are sweating and exercising and swimming in the lovely temperatures, and some sun creams will say water resistant or ultra or very water resistant. And those sun creams will give better protection if you're wet. So, for example, water resistant will give you 20 minutes of protection in the sea, or if you're wet, and ultra or very water resistant will typically give you 40 minutes. So after that, then if you need, so you know, when you come out, you then need to be toweling and reapplying.
Just to clarify, because in recent weeks, Bláthnaid, I've noticed reviews being carried out, like not just here in Ireland but in the States as well, and these videos have been pushed to me on TikTok and on Instagram, and I've been looking at them, and it's nearly a sort of a critical review of the various different sun creams and brands that we'd be so familiar with that are out there on the market. Do all sun creams, though, surely they have there's a certain level of compliance required before they can even go on the shelves in the first place?
Absolutely. So these are regulated products, and they're regulated by different bodies in Europe, in Australia, in the US, and there are slightly different guidances for each jurisdiction, but these are lab tested, guideline products that can't advertise something, you know, they can't advertise to be a SPF 50, for example, if they're not. Now, there have been small studies, and there as always, there's a little bit of controversy around the edges of that, but broadly speaking, these are safe, regulated, tested products. Yes.
So the products that people know on the shop shelves, they're safe to buy?
They're safe to buy. They're safe to use. They tend to be different. So, for example, in the US, there tend to be more physical filters than in Europe. There tend to be more chemical blocks, but they are safe to buy and safe to use. Yeah.
Creams, mists, and sprays. How do you rate them?
In perfect conditions, a cream is the optimal product to use. But I suppose we all know that life is not a perfect condition. And so if you are, you know, have a wriggling toddler that you're trying to apply sun cream to, far better that if they'll accept a spray, that you get on a spray than that you don't get on a cream, if you know what I mean. So, you know, and the other thing is that, of course, lots of people have different preferences when it comes to different sun creams. And so if you have one that's superb and you hate it, well, it's very difficult to then use that product. So ideally a cream, but the best one is the one that you like.
It's the one you like. So kind of it's better than nothing. Is that the attitude we should try and take?
Absolutely. So, and there are excellent products. I mean, I often compare it to cars, you know, and when growing up in the 80s, there were a number of car brands that you knew were sort of unreliable. And now that's not really the case. And it's the same with sun creams. So sun creams, broadly speaking, now are excellent. And I mean, if you're really concerned, then possibly some of the bigger brands that have more money behind their laboratory, or indeed maybe the brands to go for, so the sort of the likes of the, you know, brands owned by the bigger companies, you know, but these are regulated products, so everything should be doing what it says on the tin.
Two quick questions. What about the over the makeup sun sprays? There's something I've picked up over the years, and I often wonder, are they worth the spray at all?
Well, I would think they should be, you know, if you use enough of them. I mean, it is important to use a specific sunblock, you know, as opposed to just makeup that happens.
Not in lieu of sun cream, but if you're out and about during the day, is something to put over.
Absolutely, absolutely. I would use those if that's the I mean, it's going to be more practical than removing a full face of makeup and reapplying everything, isn't it? Just on that note, the other thing to say is that there are some products that are sort of a last all day add, and typically, although the UVB filters might last a bit longer, it's challenging to see how the UVA filters would last all day. And I know certainly for kids, you know, we're all very, very, very keen to make sure that babies and children are protected from sunlight when they're most at risk from UV damage. And so just to be important to, even with the last all day product, I would say to reapply those every 2 hours.
And finally, lips and eyelids. Do you put sun cream on them?
Really important. Really important.
Because I would have thought you shouldn't put it in your eye.
Well, not, I mean, in your eye, possibly.
No, but on your lid.
But on your lid. So this is a very frequent site that we see skin cancers at. And often, of course, it's challenging to apply it, and they tend to melt off. There are really good sun creams, you know, the likes of the sticks that you can use for lips. And I would encourage people to use a specific stick for your lips. I haven't seen the same for eyes, but it is important. And you know, those little inner corners of eyes are often sites that we see what are technically low-risk skin cancers, but obviously surgically very challenging at those sites when they occur. So it's really important to use them. And now, I suppose to caveat that, you know, sun cream is a really important part of the SunSmart, you know, five of sunscreen, clothes, hats, sunglasses, shade,
everything else that goes with it.
Index. So it's really important, but it's one facet, if you like, of protecting ourselves.
It's good to get a better understanding, Bláthaigh, of what we should actually be putting on our body and every inch of our body every single day. Bláthaigh Muriarty, consultant dermatologist and associate professor at UCD. There you go. Now you know what type of sunscreen you should be buying every day.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.